One of my favorite people in all of Chicago news is Sylvia Perez. She's an award-winning journalist. She's been around the Chicago area doing the news for 35 years. She currently anchors the noon and the 4 o'clock newscast on Fox 32 Chicago. She's the creator and host of the new popular podcast, Supper with Sylvia. Welcome to the studio, Sylvia. Always great to see you.
I was going to say, your lineup sounds great today. When you started out by saying, I'm going to have a woman who grew up on Alcatraz, I'm like, wait, what? I've never been to Alcatraz. I thought you were talking about me at first. Oh.
You don't remember that, Sylvia? You don't remember having been convicted growing up in Alcatraz?
I don't know if you know this about me, and I may have told you this before. I truly am obsessed with prisons, and that was on my bucket list to go to Alcatraz.
So it's so interesting.
I want to hear the story.
Everyone should go see Alcatraz.
Yes,
I've done it twice. It is a really fascinating story, and having grown up there.
I want to hear that.
So do I.
Yes.
Well, let's get right into it. I got so much to talk to you about. First, let's talk about your podcast called Supper with Sylvia. Tell me what it is and where people can listen to it.
Okay, so Supper with Sylvia was a podcast that was kind of born of the pandemic, like so many other things. During the pandemic, we were social distancing, so I had to pretty much anchor the newscast by myself. Most people were anchoring from home or doing different things. I was still going in. And I was being reached out by a lot of different restaurants and chefs saying, hey, you know, we're trying to pivot. We're trying to find a way to still make money and to pay our employees. Can we come on and tell people what we're doing? So I said, yes. And anytime you need a platform, I'm here to give you a voice because I wanted to help them out because they were struggling. So one thing led to another, and I became friends with a lot of them. I do a lot of their fundraisers, and I'm somebody who loves to eat out. And I figured out that not just the fact that I love to eat out, but behind every good restaurant or food purveyor, there is a story that's even better. So that's how Supper with Sylvia was born. It's the food that might bring the attention to what we're talking about, but it's the stories behind the food that really bring it to life. And as somebody who's been in journalism for so long, I love telling people stories, and this is so much fun for me.
Yeah, and so, you know, you think to yourself, well, you know, is this a foodie show? But it isn't. What I've listened to so far really resonates. I mean, whether you're talking about a specific crop that is being used or the story behind the chef that has some great history. You are talking about, there's a live show that you're going to be doing. Mm-hmm. Is it in August?
A live show in August, August 4th.
It's your first live show, right? Because most of those are...
Yeah, most of them we record. This one I feel very excited about. It's with Curtis Duffy, who is the chef at Ever Restaurant. And a lot of people might be familiar with Ever. It's a 2-star Michelin restaurant, but what really brought the nation's focus to Ever is it's the restaurant where they shoot all the fine dining scenes from FX's The Bear, and people in Chicago love The Bear. Have you seen The Bear?
I have.
It's a great show.
Yes.
And so a lot of the fine dining, if not all, the scenes were shot at Ever Restaurant. But Curtis has the most amazing story. I was going to have Curtis on my podcast, and then he was telling me that he wrote this book, and I said, can I see the book? So he sent me the arc of the book. There's also a documentary that was done on Curtis a few years ago called For Grace. And in that documentary, you learn about Curtis's upbringing and what a horrible, horrible, hard life he led. And that his father ended up shooting and killing his mother. I mean, Curtis's story is unbelievable. And he found respite in high school when he was forced to take home economics.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
So his story is fascinating. The book comes out August 4th. We are launching it in Chicago at Ever Restaurant. You'll be hearing more about this soon because it's going to be, you know, a ticket sale. You're going to get food. You get to read the book, and it's going to be a live podcast. It's going to be a very fun, fascinating evening. And if you know Curtis Duffy and you love him already, wait till you find out what this man has gone through.
Interesting. When we come back, I want to talk about something that was in the news this week that is legal in nature, and that is the Restaurant Reservation Anti-Piracy Act, which is very, very interesting. And I also want to ask you, Sylvia, Father's Day is next weekend, as you know, and I want to get your read on some different restaurants that might be of interest to our listeners, whether it's a burger place or a pizza place or a fine dining restaurant. I want to talk to you about it, but we're talking to Sylvia Perez, the award-winning journalist. She's at Fox 32. She's got a new podcast called Supper with Sylvia. I want to talk to you, Sylvia, about a law that was just in the news this week. It's called the Restaurant Reservation Anti-Piracy Act. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about what that is and what it covers?
Well, let me start by saying to you, Karen, and to your listeners, have you ever tried to make a reservation and you're told reservations open up at 9 a.m.? So, you know, go online and immediately you go online and they're already gone. It's kind of similar to how you experience when you're buying tickets for a big concert like a Beyonce or a Taylor Swift. What happened to all of the reservations? So there is an actual black market, third-party reservation sites that are taking those reservations before you even get a chance to get your hands on them. That's why you can't get in to some of these restaurants in Chicago, because somebody is beating you to it. They have a system and they're taking them. So Illinois is currently trying to do away with that. And it has now passed, just passed the Senate. It's passed the House and it's on its way to Governor Pritzker. He is expected to sign it, and that will probably happen by January. But to give you a fun example, I went online to one of these third party apps. I thought, let me look, see what a reservation at some of the hottest restaurants in Chicago. Okay, Bavette's.
Yeah, everybody loves Bavette's.
If you want to go to Bavette's, you need to make that reservation 3 to 6 months in advance.
Right.
It's insane. But even when you try, you can't get it. But if you go on one of these third-party apps, so I put in a reservation at 7 p.m. key time at Bavette's coming up this Saturday, okay, this coming Saturday, I can get a reservation for actually a party of two for $305. Now, that's just for the reservation.
Gosh.
That's not for drinks. That's not for food. That's nothing but the reservation. And this is a thing that, and your first thought might be, why are people paying for this? Well, I spoke to one of the third party reservation owners, and I actually was surprised he called me back. He said his site has done away with the bots, but that this came about because there was a need. There's a shortage. And, you know, if people, let's say you made a reservation at Alinea. You pay $350 and all of a sudden you can't go. His thing is, you're stuck. So what are you going to do? What we do is we help them sell that reservation so they don't lose all the money. But what's also happening is sometimes these reservations get sold, or we think that they're already taken because of the bots from some of the other sites, and the restaurants find themselves empty tables.
Yeah. Oh,
and
I've done that.
Money.
Where I've gone and I've there's no reservations, and you know, you walk in and there's nobody in the whole place.
And that really hurts the restaurants a lot.
Absolutely. And the only people making money are the third parties.
Exactly.
So I'm sure he'll sign it.
Oh, he will.
Let me just tell him, you know, JB, if you're listening.
Are you going to have dinner with him soon? Maybe you should try to get a reservation in Bavette's. He could probably get in.
He probably could. Let's talk a little bit about just your career in general. I mean, you've been at it, I think it's 35 years.
Right.
It's just hard to believe.
Yes.
I know you were raised in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And you came to Chicago many years ago. How has the news changed? I mean, you've been in television news. You're at Channel 7.
Yes.
You're at Fox now. Like, what, you know, what, tell us a little bit about your career and some of the highs and lows, maybe, and how that has affected you.
So I've been so blessed to be in Chicago for 35 years now. I came here when I was in my late 20s, so excited and fresh-faced, and I got hired by Channel 7. I was there for 24 wonderful years, and it is definitely a different state of news these days. I'm now with Fox. I'll be celebrating 9 years coming up in the fall, it's really changed a lot, as in when I first got started, cable was not as present as it is today. In fact, it just didn't exist. You had ABC, CBS, NBC, that was it. So everybody watched local news because that was your source of information. When more corporations started buying local TV, because a lot of these TV stations were owned by mom and pop, and then corporations started buying them out. And as a result, the news expanded. So we went from having, you know, maybe an hour of news or 2 hours in the afternoon, evening to 24/7. And with that came commentators, with that came opinion journalism. And that's when the whole lines of, you know, started to kind of gray, like what's right. news, what's real, what's fake. That's probably been the biggest change is the evolution of opinion-oriented news, because sometimes it's hard to tell, is that somebody's opinion or are they stating the facts? That's the hard part.
But don't you think the local news, at least in Chicago, because I don't really watch local news anywhere else, is pretty right down the middle? You know, that's why, like, I mean, even though Fox,
right.
you know, leans to the right when you watch cable,
yeah.
You know, I think when I watch the broadcast on Fox 32, it's pretty down the middle.
No, I think it is. And, you know, when you live in a Democratic state, it's very hard to have that Fox affiliation because people just assume that, you know, that we are going to be extremely conservative. But no, we're not. We're right down the middle. We try very hard to be unbiased. We have to check ourselves because there's a new generation of writers and producers coming in, and they don't have that old school journalism mentality where, you know, sales and the newsroom don't mix, or you can't put your ideas and thoughts on a script. You cannot let people know how you feel about anything. You can't let them know, am I a Republican? Am I a Democrat? Am I for this? Am I against it? And the younger generation has a harder time with that because they are very passionate about things and they feel like they need to show that side. And that's been the toughest battle, I think.
And you come from a time when, you know, the Walter Jacobsons of the world, you know, yeah. who was on the station for many years, you know, he would have to actually go into a different room, take off his coat and, you know, sporting his suspenders to give his opinion piece because they didn't want to mix him talking about the news, you know, mm-hmm. reporting the news and him giving his opinion,
yeah.
which was a very divided line. Yeah. Now, you know, aging in your career is difficult. You are a stunning person. You have aged not at all as far as
Thank
I can
Botox.
See.
Botox.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
You got a little shout out for the Botox there. You know, how do you view that? I mean, you know, you're a visual medium. Mm-hmm. I mean, you put your face on the news every morning. You yeah. know, you've got to look good. Everyone has to look their very best. How do you deal with the idea that maybe the stations want young people because their faces don't show the signs of aging?
Right.
How do you deal with that?
You know, it's hard, but you just do. So, I mean, because it seems like they want to skew towards the fresh face. You know, and I used to be a fresh face. I'm not anymore. It's interesting you should say that, too, because I was reading an article this morning about a news anchor who's been he's older than I am, and he's been on the air forever in New York, and he's cutting back. He's not retiring. But I read that he was 71 years old, Karen, and I thought to myself, wow, that would only happen to a man on TV, that
yeah.
a news anchor at the age of 71 could still not only be on, but his career is continuing, you know?
Right.
So it's something I think we women think about it, and you try to look your best, but we, you know, you want to age gracefully. You don't want to go overboard. But it's still kind of an industry that still favors men who age rather than favors women who age. There's no doubt about that.
And I will say this before we go, you know, I like watching people who know Chicago, and I've been on different stations mm-hmm. commenting on news stories. And sometimes I'll say something like Brown's chicken murder or the Lane Bryant murder. And I have these fresh faced, beautiful faces yeah. looking at me blankly, like they have no clue, or calling it the Eisenhower Freeway or something like that. And you're saying to yourself, I want someone who knows yeah. the news. Mm-hmm. Sylvia Perez, we had too little time, but I want everyone to listen to her new podcast called Supper with Sylvia. It's where you get any of your podcasts. Mm-hmm. Supper with Sylvia. Come back and let's talk again.
Please do. This was a lot of fun.